Hello and welcome. My name is Gino Barbaro, one of the co-founders of Jake and Gino. And in this how-to lesson, we're going to be discussing how to start a business with a partner. More importantly, how to select the right partner for your business. I'd like to start out with a story on how I miserably failed at selecting my first partner. And in life coaching school, when I went to school, I learned what is called an energy block. An energy block is anything that holds us back, whether it's internal or external. Internal is our thoughts. And believe it or not, 95% of what holds us back are our internal thoughts. 5% are the external. The economy, what's going outside, what other people are doing, things we can't control. But internally, we can control them if we learn how to and if we become aware. Now, there were four parts to the energy blocks. We call them gales in life coaching school at IPEC. Gremlin is the highest energy block. Gremlin is those inner thoughts that you think of. I'm not good enough. I'm too ugly. I'm fat. I'm stupid. Those really restrict you. Those are really, really challenging. The A for gale is assumption, which is what we're going to be talking about right now, specifically to this story for myself. Anything that's happened to you before, it's like, wow, holy, it's happened. I can't do it. For instance, getting into a partnership, it fails. Well, the next partnership is going to be marred in your thinking. The same thing with getting into real estate, losing money. Well, that's too risky. I can't do that again. The I is an interpretation. How we interpret things in life is so truly important to the outcome. If you're starting off in real estate and you're trying to talk to brokers and you're picking up the phone or you're emailing and you're texting and they're not calling you back, you can interpret it in one of two ways. They're either too busy or they don't want to talk to me because I'm a newbie. It may be a mixture of both, but how you interpret that really lends to what's the next action you're going to take. If you think that they don't like you or don't want to respond because they don't have time for you and you're interpreting it that way, well, guess what? You're probably going to say, I'm not going to reach out to them. But if you're persistent and you're not really sure of how to interpret it, well, let me reach out to them again and be a pest again. That's an interpretation. And the L is for limiting beliefs. Now, limiting beliefs are anything that you believe to be true, but does it have to be? And it's a lot stronger than an assumption. Once you've, you know, have that limiting belief, for me, a limiting belief early on was it takes money to make money. And then on my very first deal with Jake, we used seller financing. Well, did it take money to make money? Yeah, I had to come up with some money. But 10% of the down payment was seller financing. So right away, right then and there, I realized it doesn't take money to make money. It takes ideas. It takes value. It takes commitment. It takes skills, other things than just money to make money. So that limiting belief was crushed. But let's get back to the assumption and picking a partner. This is challenging for me because I'm thinking back at 05. And I selected a partner. Moreover, this person who is going to do the deal for us. We're in essence going to be passive. Now, I did a bad job in selecting him. I didn't even know what to look for. I want you to write this down because this is crucial. Whenever you select a partner, whenever you're making a decision, it should be based upon your values. And if you don't know your values, when you're done listening to this, sit down and reflect upon what values you adhere to or what you'd like to adhere to. Are you living those values? Back then, I had $172,000. I found someone willing to take that money from me. He took it from me. 18 months later, that money was gone. If I had selected values-based decision-making is what we're talking about here. Thanks to Rick Sapio, dear friend of mine and a mentor of mine. That's his terminology. Think about that. That really hits hard. Values-based decision-making. If I had known my values, and my values were responsibility, commitment, long-termism, integrity, these were all values that this gentleman did not possess in the slightest. Now, obviously, there were other situation difficulties with the deal. I never flew down there. I never looked at the deal from an investor standpoint. I didn't understand how to invest. I didn't even know he created a syndication. That's what it was in effect. And I didn't even know that. So I need to bear the responsibility, the brunt of that. I need to understand that if I'm going to be 100% responsibility junkie, and that's one of my values, then I need to own up to that. And I ultimately did. A couple of years after, I became that responsibility junkie. And that's when I went out and I started educating myself. But those are some of the ways that I want you to think about when you're going to select a partner. Do your visions align? Do your goals align? For Jake, when I met Jake, it was pretty evident from the beginning that I had already been thinking about these values and that his values nicely aligned with mine. He wanted to invest in real estate, specifically multifamily. He wanted to buy and own these assets for the long term. And as we're investing in real estate, he never got that shiny object syndrome. We're like, Gino, time out. I'm going to stop here and going to do singles family, or I'm going to do RV parks, or I'm going to do mobile home parks. No, he was focused on that one niche, like myself. Long-termism. He was committed. These are some of the things how our values align and how our objectives align. And if they didn't, does the partnership work? It may or it may not, but it's going to be a lot more challenging. That's what you're trying to do. You're trying to find out what your partner's goals are and how you can align with them. And I think more importantly, as you're listening to this, you need to take a deep look at yourself and how can you bring value to that partnership. For myself, early on, I understood multifamily. I was the one who got educated. I was the one who went to mentorship. I was the one who knew how to underwrite a deal. Jake, his value was that he had moved from New York to Knoxville and he was in the market. He had boots on the ground. So do you see how beautiful that alignment was? Not only was Jake a hard worker, not only was he committed, not only was he a family man, all of the values that I possessed, but he was able to provide value to the partnership, and so was I. And that's what you need to look for when you're looking through the lens of trying to partner with somebody. They may have something that you need, and you have something that they need. Now, going back to that assumption, some of you may be saying right now, I can't get into partnership. They never work for me. Do they never work for you? Have you ever looked at it from the lens which I am presenting to you right now? Were you a little culpable? In other words, bear responsibility for the failure of that partnership. I could have said early on, Maserati Mike, that's what I called him. It was all his fault that I lost the money. And I'd probably be true about 90% of it, but I needed to bear the responsibility. And if I held on that to assumption or that belief, guess what? I may not be here right now because I may have said to myself, well, Maserati Mike was a terrible business partner. Jake's going to be the same way. I challenge you to stop thinking like that, to stop having those assumptions sway hold of you. I mean, I met Jake 4 or 5 years after I had lost all that money. I had grown as a person. I had been working on personal development. I had been working on mindset. I had been working on my skills. So that's how I broke that assumption. And it is an assumption. Some partnerships work really well and some don't. I entered into a partnership back in 2015 and 16 with a couple of guys who wanted to build vacation rentals here in Florida. That partnership didn't work well. Why? Because of values. Don't beat yourself up. You're going to make mistakes. And I made a mistake on that deal. And fortunately for me, it was small. We only entered into building a couple of homes. And that's the great thing about partnerships. If you're afraid or if you're fearful, start with a small one. Start with one deal. Get an operating agreement. Lay out expectations. Get to know the partner. I think one of the things about partnerships is you tend to have to like the partner. It's called the beer test. If you can't go out and hang out with your potential partner and have a beer and enjoy their company, it's going to be very difficult to have a long-term relationship with that person when it's just based on business. Listen, I was on the call with Jake literally 5 different times yesterday. We're talking about a deal. We're talking about employees. We're talking about creating a new program for Jake and Gino. All of these things that are going on. If I don't want to get on the call with Jake, what's the interpretation? I don't really want to talk to him right now because I don't want to do the business with him. So understand that you need to like it. And listen, as you're listening to this, if you want to reach out to us, Jake and Gino, I'm going to give you a phone number. You want to learn how to invest in multifamily. You want to learn how to partner. You want to become part of the premier multifamily community. The number is 865-800-3905. 865-800-3905. If you want to take that next step into multifamily, or even if you want to learn how to become a passive investor in multifamily, if you want to learn the systems, the processes on how to do that, the mechanics are all there. understanding the nuances, understanding how talking to a coach about creating a partnership. Great. Now that we're partners, what's the next step? Well, the next step is the structure. Well, how do I do that? I've never done that. Well, we've done that countless times, and it's so important. Let me end this by saying that you need to be 100% committed to your partner. No excuses. I can't do this. I can't do that. I'm too busy. You can never be too busy for your partner. If you let your partner down, not only are you letting him or her down, you're letting down their family. Let that stick for a second. That really hurts. And that's what keeps me going, because I know if I don't get on a call, I'm letting Jake down and I'm letting his wife and his three kids down. And I think he feels the same way as I do. Be 100% committed. And ultimately, as we're winding down, think about what your values are. Think about yourself as a little kid, 9, 10, 11, 12 years old. That's when you start forming your values. For myself, when I think of something back when I was that young, I remember really going to work with my father at the restaurant. The values of hard work, the values of commitment to a family, the values of not giving up because I had to provide for the family, the values of creating a small little business, being responsible, I mean, loving this country. Those are all values that I learned from my dad, and they've just carried on into my adult life. But I didn't really know them. I wasn't aware of them. I want you to start to become aware of them. Write them down and start living them every day. And I will promise, once you start doing that, it'll be so clear. A partner will just show up out of the blue and you'll say, wow, he just or she just fell into my lap. It doesn't happen that way. What you focus on grows. I want to thank you for spending part of your day with me. And I will see you on next week's How To. Take care, everyone.